fine.
Yeah. It was okay. There we go. Okay. There we go. Okay, lead us through and tell us great news, I hope.
No great news, unfortunately.
Okay.
So looking at, you know, the basic revenues that we track on a regular basis, you can see that we continue to lag significantly past year-ago numbers. Right now, you can see we're anywhere from 22 to 50% of where we year ago on the various parking elements. You see that parking tickets has picked up a little bit from before. But if you look at the next section down, this is year to date through July 2019 versus 2020. You can see there's pretty significant declines in revenue. So over $250,000 so far lost.
Yep.
Any questions on that before I move to the next one?
Well, I have a quick question.
Rebecca?
And maybe this is your moment in the conversation, but I'll just throw it out there and we can just discuss it after or something. But I do, basically what's running through my mind is, what are some of the ways that cities in emergencies try to make up revenue?
Like, yeah, let's... We can talk about that later. That's something I want to talk about. But let's just go through where we are right now. Definitely come back to that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so if you want to scroll down a little bit, Rebecca?
Building permits. Ooh.
Tell me when to stop.
Right there. Yep, up, go back a little bit. There you go. Heather?
Okay, so building permit and fees, pretty much the same story. Between the two of them, we're only a third of the way through the budget, although we're almost 60% through the year. But there are some big projects that may be coming up this year, so hopefully that will help positively impact these numbers. But you can see in the second section that we're about $30,000 lower than we were last year at this time.
Scroll, okay. Please. Okay.
So I'm projecting roughly $1 million loss of revenue by the end of August. Some of that was expected, but some of it was not, obviously. So what I did is, so if you take that and you assume it started basically in April, that's about $170,000 a month on average. So if it keeps on pace, you know, it could be another $600,000 before the end of the year. You know, the other thing to keep in mind is we had already planned on using fund balance to balance up the 2020 budget. So this is all on top of that. So you'll see when we look at the charts that there was a big drop in July specifically. Some of that is just timing. So let me just walk you through those. You can see, so in property tax, we actually dropped $31,000. We don't usually do something like that because the revenue is all booked in January 1. But because of the various bars and challenges to assessments, the ones that were approved ended up reducing our overall tax revenue because we have to provide credits on the tax bills. So that amounted to about $31,000. Sales tax, last year at this time, we received $454,000. You'll see at the bottom of this that we actually do have the check for sales tax. We just didn't get it in the general ledger in July, so it will show up in August. So that is pretty much just a timing issue, except that it is about $75,000 less than what we received in 2019. So it's still a pretty big hit. And you'll see when I get to the charts, I did one for sales, and I put it in the second quarter just so we show the numbers. Two things that obviously we didn't have in the budget for 2020, which are making, you know, the difference between 19 and 20 look significantly worse, is the community host agreement, which added $100,000 in revenue back in 2019 when that money was received. But again, remember, we identified that as revenue, but we still haven't identified any of the expenses. So last year, we saw the benefit of having that revenue, but now we're going to be hit with $200,000 of expenses at some point, either this year or next. And then the sale of real property, which was the sale of the police building, the old police building. So that was obviously a one-time revenue hit as well. So if you just stay on the left-hand column, I also went in to look at if there were any offsetting revenue increases. And in July, literally the only thing that was higher or not lower than a year ago was FOHI donations. So about an extra $25,000 in July than it was July 2019. So the net increase in just July alone was $1.1 million. But when you back out the sales tax number, which should have been in there, it dropped to $700,000. If you go to the right-hand column, it's the same information, only it's based on year-to-date, so from January through July 2019 versus January to July 2020. So again, sales tax, although that will show up next quarter, so I just wanted to make sure if people were looking at the poll numbers, they understood what made up the dramatic drop. So sales tax, you know, 75% of that will be recouped. When we recognize it in this month. Parking meters down 28,000. Non-budgeted grants, and I didn't have a chance to look and see specifically what those were, but we had about $70,000 more in non-budgeted grants that were accepted in 2019 than in 2018. Obviously, the community host agreement we talked about already. The Front Street lot is down about $86,000 versus a year ago. Building permits are down 21. Parking tickets are down 83. Fines and fees are down 22. Obviously, sale of real property, since we didn't have any real property to sell this year. Refunds of prior year expenses, that's just a wonky number. And then state aid court security, which we didn't have budgeted because we knew that we gave the contract up in the middle of 2019. But when you're doing a year-to-year comparison, it is showing that as a decline. So offsetting increases year to date, property tax, because we did do a tax increase, so that's about $160,000. Sale of tax-acquired property, we sold one property or two this year, so that's about $100,000. And in total year to date, FOHI grant donations are over $100,000 more than they were the prior year. So net January through July, we're down 1.3 million basically, but when we throw the second quarter property tax back in, it takes us down to about $865,000. So obviously not great news. And just to also just the last comment on this page is you'll see I also put the 2020 expenditures. So we've spent $5.8 million through July versus $5.9 million through July last year. So we're basically on pace. So, you know, that goes to the question as well. How do we keep spending at this pace when our revenues are declining so substantially?
Okay, next page.
Okay, so again, these are just the trend reports. I did do a little more tweaking on them. And you see this is just the month-to-month one. So right now, big. You know, so that just gives you an idea of the potential trend of how the revenue might be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to the cumulative one, which is probably the one that's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see right now through July where we are. And then based on my revised projections of low impact or high impact, we're looking at possibly somewhere between $1.3 and $1.9 million. And again, hopefully these are incredibly conservative and things start bouncing back. But unfortunately, you know, we haven't seen it bounce back as much in June and July as we had hoped.
Okay.
Okay, so parking, we did see a nice bump in July, which you can see on the monthly chart.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. That was primarily parking tickets. So they're back out ticketing, and we saw some decent revenue behind that. So that was good.
If we could just get them to find the trucks for taking the non-truck route, we'd have even more revenue.
Sure. Oh, this one appears to be caught up. I don't think I resized the chart adequately, but in any case, you know, we're looking at somewhere north of $250,000 in lost parking revenue. I mean, that's where we are today, and it's highly unlikely that we're going to make up a significant extra amount in the outgoing year. So I think that's probably about right. Yeah, lodging tax. I mean, we'll know better in the next month or two, but I don't, you know, I don't even know what to say about this. You know, I hear, you know, I live right across the street from Rivertown Lodge. It seems to do pretty well on the weekends these days. But in terms of all of the, you know, the other hotels and motels, let alone the Airbnbs, you know.
When's the next lodging tax due?
It is due in September.
Okay.
Heather, the green projected and the dotted line projected, when are you project, like, are those projections that you make, do your projections change with each month, I guess is what I'm asking, or is this like projected, something you projected a while back and now it's amended?
No, I changed them this month.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason, just so you know, the reason why, even though our collections are in June and September, you're seeing the bulk of last year's, which is the solid blue line, showing up a month later in August and October. And that's just because that's when we had that really horrible lodging tax software. So everything was delayed because it was all very manual, getting the data and putting it into the system. Starting from October, moving to the new one, we should be much more on time. But that's why the peaks are a little off versus the actual collection month. Okay.
We need to stop here. Or?
Yep, you can just stop there for a second. So again, based on my estimates, which I will continue to say are just estimates, obviously. We could be anywhere from like $160,000 to $200,000 less in revenue on that.
Okay, next page. Next chart, please.
Okay, we also saw a little bit of a spike in building permits primarily. So I've adjusted that accordingly. And again, as I said earlier at the thing, if any of these projects that are on board come to light, that should provide some, you know, not insignificant revenue for some of those major projects. So that's a potential plus. Mm-hmm. Oops, my eyes are in the wrong place. Oh well.
There you go.
And oops. Yeah, so again, just based on these projections, I mean, it's obviously a smaller, you know, revenue amount in terms mm-hmm. of its total contribution. So somewhere between, you know, $28,000 and $40,000 potentially. But one big, big project could make up that in a day. Okay, so here's sales tax. So as I said, although it wasn't technically in the GL, I did put it in this chart so you could see it visually. So I did this one a little differently because unlike most of the other revenues, which we don't budget by month, so it's really hard to do versus budget, sales tax, even though we don't do it by month, has been very, very consistent in terms of what percentage of the total year's amount of sales tax we received in each of the four quarters. It's been very consistent for the last, like, 5 years. So I went ahead and broke out our 2020 budget based on those percentages. So this is a little different. So the blue line was 2019 actuals. The green line was our 2020 budget estimate, and you can see that was a significant increase. I believe we went from 1.65 to 1.9. I did 1.7. It'll be on the next page in any case, but you know, those numbers. And you can see for the first quarter, we were pretty close to our number. And then obviously, you know, $62,000 less in the second quarter than a year ago, and almost $75,000 less than what we had in the 2020 budget. So last but not least, so what I did here, and again, so the blue was last year's actual number. The green behind it was the 2020 budget. So you can see we were at 1.79 actuals for the whole year. If you looked under the Q4 column, we budgeted for $1.9 million in 2020. So right now, we're projecting to be, you know, significantly less. So then what I did is I took that black dotted line just as a theory and sort of plotted it against what the cumulative growth of 2019 has been so far. You can see basically, so the orange is what we've done so far, the first two quarters. And so I just took that line and I extrapolated it out on a straight line basis to see where it might come out. And again, that's a complete estimate, but interesting way to look at it. And if that turned out to be the case, we would be somewhere between, you know, somewhat under $1.6 million, so that could be potentially a $300,000 hit. And that's all I got.
Why do you estimate that last one so high? I mean, if the second quarter... I'm just trying to figure this out. Well,
like I said, all I did is I took what the cumulative growth trend was, so mm-hmm. the slope of the orange section, yeah. and I just extended it out in a straight line to see what would happen if that continued to be the case.
Okay. Thank you. So, to get back to Rebecca's question, obviously one way... Well, there's two ways. One is we cross our fingers and say our prayers and hope that CARES Act 2 comes through because, according to our grant writers, we would cover that $2 million, the highest estimate mentioned. Now, barring that, given the political situation, I guess, Heather, you can confirm this or not. We hit the fund balance, but that, of course, has long-term consequences. The money is there, correct, Heather?
It depends, to be honest with you. I mean, if we're at the high end, if we're close to 2 million, and then remember last year when we had much stronger revenues and about the same spending, we still lost $400,000 in 1 year. So, you know, if we have that kind of loss on top of all of these losses in revenue, we could wipe it out literally this year.
Explain again what you're saying about how it's controlled, like how is the amount that's in that controlled?
Or it, the fund it is basically the cumulative difference year over year over year of how much revenue we take in versus how much money we spent. And so at the end of every fiscal year, it drops basically. So last year, for example, as I said, our revenues were less than our expenses by about $400,000. So that just automatically reduces the fund balance by that amount. And then, of course, when we go in and we make budget adjustments, when we take money out of fund balance to approve increased spending and so forth, or to make grant matches, that also negatively impacts it throughout the year. It's only ever positively impacted at the end of the fiscal year and only if revenues exceed expenditures. And, you know, we've seen a significant drop in the fund balance over the last 5 or 6 years. So.
Wow.
You know, the other thing that concerns me greatly is that, you know, given our levels of spending versus what we can create in revenue, I'm not sure I see a way to keep increasing fund balance.
Right. And so what are, I guess...
Well, one time contributions, of course, can be building sold, but that's not the best way to build a fund balance. Eileen, did you want to say something?
Yes. So, Heather, the implications, if the year trends the way we're seeing it from the data you have and the assumptions, not only could we really run down the fund balance for this year, but that's going to have, and I know you know this, that'll have a huge impact on the tax rate, for the mill rate for the taxes next year, unless we do some serious cutbacks, because the fund balance, as you know, has always been the go-to to try and mitigate, you know, some of the tax increase. And it sounds like we'll be lucky to get through the year and probably won't have much to use. Or am I painting that too bleak?
I mean, worst case scenario, that's absolutely true. I personally, and, you know, I would love to be wrong. You know, I would love to get the CARES Act money. That would be awesome. I would love that, you know, all my assumptions are all incredibly unfairly aggressive. But we're $1 million down in revenue to the day. I don't see that revenue coming back.
Right.
So right there, there's $1 million hit. And then on top, and that's assuming we don't lose revenue for the rest of the year. It's also assuming we don't have some unique, unidentifiable source of revenue that's going to pop up in the next 5 months either. But also keep in mind that that's just a loss in revenue. So to the extent that we have that loss in revenue, but we continue our 2020 expenditures at their current rate, that's going to be that's going to add on to that $1 million. So.
Have any of the departments submitted areas where they could come up with a 10% cut?
Not yet.
I believe everybody submitted them to the mayor.
Oh, to the mayor. I thought you meant to the BEA.
Right, that seems to be the first place to look, right? Is where can we cut expenses?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, a couple of things that I think are worth noting is that at the end of the year, traditionally, most departments have extra money. And I think the burden is on those department heads to not spend it this year. I mean, we don't need to go into which ones have it, but I'm sure you can confirm that, Heather. There are a couple that do have, do all that last minute spending because they spend what was budgeted. So we can certainly discourage that from happening this year. Do you agree?
Yeah.
And that's considerable in one or two departments. Are there any questions for Heather from the committee? Anybody in the public, would they like to ask a question of Heather? John Kane.
Which are the departments that have monies left over at the end of the year, generally? I mean, we can name them, right?
Well, it varies.
Which departments had money left over at the end of the year last year?
DPW actually underspent their budget last year. Most of the other departments spent pretty much right up to the penny. And one thing you have to remember, though, is we talk about these departments, but out of the 10 of them, 7 of them are tiny, you know.
Okay.
So they're small. They're very small.
Yeah,
in terms of how the size of their budget. Like, for example, my office, the clerk's office, the assessor, code enforcement, they're all, you know, well under $500,000 budget.
Right. The two big budgets are obviously police and DPW.
Police and DPW are the largest, and then youth is actually, surprisingly, the third largest.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Heather? Let me get your name. Oh, this is Monica Byrne. Oh, you got to unmute yourself.
Apologies, sorry. Heather, I just have one quick question. I noticed something I was unfamiliar with on your spreadsheets. The last column, it says YAG. Can you tell me what that stands for?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a bunch of corporate stuff that I've learned, you know, 30 years ago. It stands for year ago.
Sorry, year ago? Got it. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Anybody else have questions for Heather? Heather, thank you. Let's hope your predictions are
wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any question? Well, there's nothing for else on the agenda, per se. There's. Wait one second. There are a few. I'm just trying to think. There are some intradepartmental transfers later tonight, but no significant. No one has come to us with requests to hit the general fund lately. I don't think they would have the guts to at this point. Rebecca.
Well, I was just wondering if we, the finance committee, could ask to see the proposals from the departments about what they can cut. Is that something we can ask to see?
Absolutely. Why not? I didn't know they came in. And I'm not sure, is Heather still there? Were those, the proposals sent to the mayor, were they for this year or for upcoming budget?
They were for this year. That was several months ago when Kamal asked everyone, this is before the, you know, the 10% police cut thing.
Right.
It was prior to that, and Kamal had asked for each department to submit a 10% cut. And so, as far as I know, everyone did. Like I said, that was several months ago.
Okay. So we can certainly ask him to see that.
And then the other thing, this is not directly related, but it is related. I had talked with the mayor's office about the idea of having the grant writers meet with the finance committee on maybe a bi-monthly basis to present us with basically like research on what kind, on some potential grants that they can apply for.
Yeah, that's actually the purview of the Economic Development Committee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, always has been, and yeah, because it's not really, it doesn't really enhance the budget. It's not a budget, you know what I mean? It's for...
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, if anything, it may have a negative impact on
exactly,
the budget,
right?
Because mostly grants have
matches. Have matches, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about the need to cut expenditures. The other things that we should probably be talking about, and I think we will in the BEA for sure, is whether or not we need to start putting a hold on capital projects because we just might not have the cash. Oh, and that's the other thing I wanted to point out. In addition to the decline in revenue, and it obviously has a direct impact on cash as well. So right now, after I put the money back in for the second quarter sales tax, our cash situation is still about $1 million less than we were a year ago. So that's something I'm continuing to keep an eye on. The good news is that although tax collection rates, so just to explain this to everybody, I said before, you know, when we create our tax income revenue, we recognize that revenue 100% on day one. So we recognize the revenue, but that doesn't necessarily mean we get the cash for it. The cash comes in as people pay their tax bills. So I've been also keeping an eye on the tax collection rates. They are a little lower than they were a year ago, but not dramatically so. So, you know, we're about 4 or 5% lower in terms of how much we've collected year to date than we were a year ago. And so while it doesn't have an impact on revenue, it does have an impact on cash as well.
Any questions for Heather or for the committee from anyone? Well, if wouldn't hurt to send letters to congressmen and senators to get the CARES Act 2 passed, because it would save us and many other municipalities throughout the country. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Oh, who's that? Someone? No? Mm-hmm. Eileen?
A motion to adjourn.
Rebecca? Do you second?
I'll second.
Okay, I think all three of us are in favor. The meeting is adjourned. See you at 7:00.